Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching comes from a recent seminar that Andrew did in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. This classic teaching on spirit, soul, and body is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Based on myself, based on my actions, I don't deserve it. Praise God for who I am in Christ. Thank God that I was created in righteousness and true holiness, and I'll just get it through who I am in Christ. Amen. You have to be strong in the grace that was in Christ Jesus. I'm going to attempt to do something here that I'm not sure I should do, but let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. You're receiving so well, I'm going to give you another piece of this puzzle. And normally I preach an hour and a half on this. I'm going to make this quick in Jesus' name. But Hebrews is showing the difference between the way people related to God under the old covenant and the way people relate to God under the new covenant. There is a huge difference. And most of this sin consciousness comes through the old covenant. The old covenant was given to make you sin conscious, to focus your attention upon your sin, and to make you feel unworthy and ungodly. That was the purpose of the Old Testament law. The church has missed this and has misrepresented it and said, oh, God gave us these laws. Step 1 through 10,000. All of the things that we must do because He loved us so much. Well, it is true that He loved us, but it wasn't to help you. It was to hurt you. The law was given to kill you and to destroy you. That's a quotation from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says the strength of sin is the law. The law strengthens sin. It didn't strengthen you in your battle against sin. It strengthens sin in its battle against you. And on I could go with saying those things. Somebody might say, well, why would God give something that would strengthen sin? Because the truth is you were already beaten. And yet we were thinking, well, I think I'm okay. I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not like this publican over here. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. See, that's what the Pharisees said. And people compare themselves among themselves and measure themselves by themselves, and it's not wise. But people were thinking, well, I'm average. I'm as good as anybody else. I think God will accept me. And so God had to bring us out of that deception and say, you think you're good enough? You think that you are worthy to enter into heaven? And so He says, let me show you what it takes. And He gave step 1 through 10,000. He gave commands. Most of us don't even know what the Bible commands are. If you've got a mole on your body, did you know you're defiled? Leviticus chapter 20. If you're left-handed, you're defiled. If you have poor eyesight and have to wear glasses, you're defiled. If you've got a flat nose, you're defiled. If you've got a bent back, you're defiled. And on and on and on you could go. If you're wearing a garment that isn't pure wool or pure cotton, if you've got wool and cotton mixed together or something, you're defiled. There's just so many things. Oh, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. All of those things are in the Bible. I can show you scripture for every one of them. Well, why did God do that? Because if you want to know perfection, God says, let me just show you. You know, God wanted to accept you by grace. But men always get to thinking, I've got to earn God's love. And so, how did God bring us out of this deception? He just gave us a standard that was so incapable of any of us ever living up to it that we'd say, well, God, if that's what you demand, have mercy on me. And He says, that's it. Amen. That's like the guy who went to heaven and Peter met him at the gate. And he said, what's your name? And he told him his name. And he said, all right, before you can get into heaven, we're going to give you a quiz and we're going to grade you, and you got to have 100 points to get into heaven. This guy said, that shouldn't be hard. He says, I've really lived a good life. And so Peter started asking him questions. He says, all right, did you go to church? He says, I never missed church. I was at church every time the doors were open. I have a perfect attendance pin. I was at church every single time. And he says, that's worth 1 point. And he says, 1 point? And then he says, how did you treat your wife? And he said, oh, I was faithful to my wife. I never cheated. I honored my wife. I did everything perfectly. He says, that's 2 points. He says, 2 points? He says, did you tithe? And he says, oh, yeah, I gave it. He says, that's worth half a point. And anyway, after about 3 or 4 points, this guy said, my God, if this is what you're demanding, I'll never get in unless it's by the grace of God. And he goes, bingo. Come on in. That was the purpose of the law, is to make you quit trusting in yourself. But religion is somehow or another said, oh, no, you got to do all of these things. No, God gave such a standard that it made you despair of self-salvation, and you had to call out to God. So this is what the book of Hebrews is doing, is showing you that there's a difference in the way people related to God under the old covenant and under the new covenant. On the old covenant, it was performance-based. In the new covenant, it's just based on whether or not you are born again. It's based on who you are in the Spirit. And he's making contrast between the way people's sins were atoned for under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, every time you sinned, they had to offer a new sacrifice. In the new covenant, and this is a point I'm going to make in, from a lot of scriptures here, it says there was one offering that affected your sins forever. Under the old covenant, your sins were only affected up until the time you offered that offering, and then every time you sinned, you had to go offer a new offering. That's the way most Christians are still doing it. But the truth is that Jesus affected all of your sins, past, present, and even sins that you haven't committed yet have all been forgiven. Somebody said, ah, I can't believe, how could God forgive a sin before you commit it? You better hope he can forgive a sin before you commit it, because he only died for sins one time 2,000 years ago before you had committed them. If God can't forgive a sin before you commit it, you can't be forgiven. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The emphasis here, if you were to study the whole book of Hebrews, the emphasis is on once. He entered in once, whereas the priest had to offer sacrifices over and over and over and over and over every day. 2 sacrifices a day, a sacrifice every time you sinned, and then a day of atonement, 1 day a year, where they offered sins to cover all of the sins that they had missed. There was just constant shedding of blood in the Old Covenant. And many New Testament saints have an Old Testament mindset to where they think the blood of Christ only worked for the sins that were past. But no, Jesus paid for all sins, past, present, and even future. It says, by one offering he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and Colossians 1, 14 says redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. So this says he obtained eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness of sins. Not forgiveness of sins until the next time you sin, but eternal redemption, eternal forgiveness, not momentary forgiveness. Boy, it's quiet in here. Hopefully you're thinking about this. But can you tell that this is different than what most of us have been taught? Most people believe that when they get born again, they're forgiven. And they get happy and they go to rejoicing until they go to church. And then in church, they go to preaching at them, unless you live holy, unless you study the word, unless you pay your tithes, unless you come to church, unless you do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, God won't bless you. And they say, I thought I was forgiven. Well, you were forgiven for all those other things, but now you got to start doing this, this, and this. And it puts you back under where your relationship with God is broken because of sin. And how do you get rid of it now? You've already been born again. Well, you start living in a constant state of sin consciousness. That is not eternal redemption. And look in verse 15. I'm just skipping through here because of time. In verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance. Not momentary inheritance. Not temporary inheritance. Eternal inheritance. If words mean anything, then there has to be an adjustment in the way we think. These words are powerful. Eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance. The church is basically preaching temporary redemption. Temporary inheritance until the next time you mess up. And he just keeps saying this over and over. If you were to study all of these verses, he's just making this point. Dozens and dozens of times he says it over and over and over. There's a new way of relating to God. Let's go down to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. He's saying that Jesus doesn't have to offer his blood over and over for us the way that the high priest did in the Old Testament. It was appropriate for the high priest to do it because they were only offering the blood of animals. Animals could never satisfy the demand of God. It was only a picture, a shadow, a type of what Jesus was going to do. And it didn't really do anything. It was symbolic.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the subject of spirit, soul, and body. This teaching series was recorded at a special Holland GTS in Amsterdam. It's available in a 3-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM231 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who have become a regular monthly partner with us. Did you know you're the ones who are allowing me to take this truth around the world? We actually only have, I think it's about 9,000 partners that produce somewhere around $200,000 a month. And yet our television bill is around $500,000 a month. The rest of it goes up and down depending on how many people respond. You know what? We need more people to become partners with us. I would like to ask you that if this program is blessing you, if you could see the benefit of this touching other people, then please pray about it and then become a partner with us today.